Who the hell is Tony Smith? Fat Tony's here with me today, and I do believe in miracles because you're over it. Or maybe not over
I'm not over it.
Not over it.
What I am is in a better mood than I was yesterday.
You're capable of conducting yourself like a broadcast professional for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, I can.
You had to think. You see a half-second pause there,
look,
Fortunato?
I had the Fat Tony show last night, and it gave me a chance to really vent and get out all of my anger.
Felt good.
We do, like, the caller Mondays. We understand after a Jaguars loss, especially a close one, you want to call, like, yelling at your kids is not enough just in the room with you, just being like, I can't believe they did that. Sometimes that's not enough. You need to get it out. I understand confessional now in the Catholic Church. Sometimes you just got to get it out. That was what the Fat Tony show was for me, at least in part, last night. I felt much better after the show. Vanderbilt getting a win in the College World Series doesn't hurt. We're one win away from our first national championship in a men's sport, and it's one of the big three. So, yeah, I'm in a much, much better mood than I was yesterday.
Clear off some room on that bowling shelf there.
That's right.
Ladies bowling title is the only...
Step aside,
you
ladies
think we're
bowling.
Kidding. We're not. We're not kidding. Helga and the crew brought home the bowling title.
It's the only one we got.
Good for them. By the way, this caller Monday, I'm planning on holding 16 victory Mondays this season.
Let's
haven't
do it.
You heard? Jags going 16-0 in 2014.
That would be pretty sweet.
That would be okay by me. Yes, that would be pretty good. Yeah, it is good to vent. It's good to get it off your chest. You were a miserable excuse for a human being yesterday.
I was bad yesterday.
Is basically what you were. And now, if we can just get the Virginia Cavaliers to win a baseball game tonight, I can maybe get you back to that state.
Oh, my gosh.
Or at least on the brink of being on that state.
Guy.
You know me. Well, what we want to set up, it was Lauren's idea. She's like, she wants Loggeman to call in and talk some smack. I think we need to get the series tied at one. And then he can throw some Virginia Cavaliers smack at you. Maybe you guys can have some kind of a College World Series bet. Something on the line.
Yeah, I guess we could figure something out in that.
Oh, I could
arena.
Come up with a bunch of stuff that you guys could wager against each other.
Well, I'm sure you could.
That it would involve some degree of public embarrassment or another. So I'll be
we'll
cooking
see.
Up ideas.
Unfortunately, it's not going to get to a game three.
Don't go blowing it. Don't go blowing it tonight by winning early. You know what? Let's talk to Blake Bortles today. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Blake Bortles coming up in about an hour and a half on the program today. Last chance that we'll have to sit down with him, at least until he comes back here for training camp. I guess he'll head down to Oviedo, maybe take a little vacation. I don't know. We'll find out, I guess, what Blake is up to in the next few weeks. But I'm more interested in how the process went with him over the last month plus, Tony, since the draft. About a month and a half, right, since the draft.
Yeah.
Boy, it flies by, doesn't it? All the mini camp, rookie mini camps, veteran mini camp, all OTAs, everything, you know, from the rookie premiere, you know, flying around. And we talked to Marquise Lee yesterday about it. I mean, this is the first chance you have as a rookie, really, to breathe a little bit. These guys will be out on the field a little bit today. And then at 11:30 this morning, they'll be wrapped up. They're going to run Blake in here for a few minutes before the show wraps up today. So if you've got questions for Blake, you are certainly free to tweet them at us. We're free to ignore them or use them if we so desire. But if we do use your question, we'll mention you. So tweet us away at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. Where today, Tony, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day coincides with the appearance of Blake Bortles today. We're asking folks which rookie they think will have the biggest impact on the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2014. You hope you get to the point in the very near future where rookies, not many of them have the opportunity to make a big impact. You're not counting on many to make a big impact with you, but they're not at that stage yet.
No, they're not there yet. I mean, the roster is getting better. That's exemplified by the fact that they do cut a guy like Jason Babin, a veteran who helped them in the pass rush last year, and they feel comfortable letting that guy walk after having a pretty productive season here in Jacksonville. But it's not to the point yet where they're not going to have to rely on some very young players to help them if they're going to accomplish anything this season. And as much as anything, you're playing them so that you can be ready for 2015, too. So, look, there's a lot of young players on this team that are going to have an impact on where this team is going to go and how far they can go in the 2014 season. Blake Bortles, who knows? You know, the team at least doesn't want him to have a huge impact on what's going to happen for the team this season. But you never know what's going to go down. I mean, if Chad Henne gets hurt, we talked about it yesterday with Ryan O'Halloran, then what happens with Blake Bortles? he very well could be the rookie that has the biggest impact on this season.
You know, I honestly think they'd love for him to have a big impact on this season.
They'd love it.
But because, you know, they're not counting on it. They don't expect it. They don't plan on that happening. But, you know, I think they'd love for him to come up and light up training camp. Why wouldn't you always want your number three overall pick to excel and look ready and have people wondering, why isn't he on the field yet? He looks fantastic. That's a good problem to have. They're not at that stage, though. He's going to have to come back and really pick it up to have any chance, I think, to make an impact really in the first half of the season, barring injury to Chad Henne. And they're just fine with that. And we'll see. And maybe, you know, maybe we're not talking about this a month into the season. Maybe instead of looking at that early difficult schedule, I remember one year Coughlin, you looking at the schedule that the Jags had coming out of the gates, you're like, oh my goodness, this is just absolutely unbelievable. And I remember they included Philly. Can't remember exactly what year it was, and this was in the midst of Philly going to all the championship games. You know the one I'm talking about?
Was that Philly and Dallas was here with T.O.?
They went 3-1 in the stretch, though, in the first month of the season. So funny things can happen. It's not out of the realm of possibility at all that the Jags get off to a great start, and hopefully all this Blake Bortles talk will be on the back burner for good reasons early on in 2014. But we'll talk with Blake about an hour and a half from now. He'll sit down with us in the Jaguars Today studios here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Got some other news from around the National Football League we'll delve into today. We'll hear from Cecil Shorts. He was on with the boys from the drill yesterday. Couldn't bring you that yesterday as we ran out of time with Marquise Lee joining us live. So we'll have that. I've got some interesting tidbits for you on this date in football history. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Remember, when you tweet us or when you post on the Facebook page, either one, please use the hashtag Jaguars Today. It's easy for us to sort those and get your responses out there. And if you want Tony to read your tweets on the air, you need to use the hashtag Jaguars Today in those tweets. At MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Lauren. You can also tweet me ideas for what Jeff Loggeman and Tony can wager if the College World Series comes down to a one-game winner-take-all scenario. No guarantee. In fact, increasingly no likelihood whatsoever of them accepting the terms, but I want to throw a few terms at them if it comes to that. So we'll see what we can do.
I already have an idea.
Brooks, do you have an idea? What do you got?
I do. You want to come back with it?
Oh, yeah, sure. We'll it's a major radio tease.
Uh-huh.
Right here. What can be on the line between Jeff Loggeman and Fat Tony if Vandy and Virginia have a one-game play-in, a winner-take-all scenario? Virginia needs to win tonight. Otherwise, I got to put up with Happy Tony tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
In yet even more Vandy gear. Somebody in the building told him to anchor down the other day.
Yes, they did.
This is getting out of control. All right, if you want to get in the program today, 641-1010, you want to talk about the rookie class. Variable pricing for Jaguar tickets being introduced this year. We'll explain the options that you have, as well as news from around the National Football League. All coming up. Jaguars Today, just getting rolling. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Lauren Brooks, Joe Fortunato, the gang's all here live at EverBank on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Tony, I knew you knew this already, but just to save you any possible embarrassment,
I actually did know this
that would
one.
Come. This is B.B. King.
The thrill is gone.
Yeah, you did
thrill
know that.
The thrill is gone.
Sing it, B.B.
The thrill is gone away.
Very nice.
Yeah.
And had I wanted to really save you embarrassment, I would have not said sing it. But nevertheless, I'm guessing. Now, Lauren says these are going to get progressively harder. Progressively easier, right?
Yep.
The hardest clues
mm-hmm.
first. Lauren right. always has a theme. One of these days we'll get around to tying it into some kind of contesting, and you can guess the theme every day. B.B. King. Who's our guest today? Blake Bortles. Is it that obvious?
Ooh, Lauren? That would have been a really good one, but no.
Really?
The throw is gone.
B.B. King. Is this something to do with LeBron opting out of his contract?
It is not. I'm not that much of an NBA fan.
Mm.
It's gonna take you a little while.
Okay.
B.B. King, the thrill is gone.
Yesterday's was so easy that
Will the Thrill Hill is currently unemployed because he is on the wrong side of the law.
When you said who tie, we were like, what is she talking about?
I know.
That's gotta be the theme. Tie.
That's the worst one yet. And then I did some with even. Some of the songs had square. Joe Fortunato recommended Huey Lewis, Hip to Be Square, so I had that one.
He just likes that song.
Square.
He doesn't know what the theme
Who doesn't
is.
Like Huey Lewis?
Hootie. I may have been your low point. So
well,
far.
Thank you very much. At least that means I can get better this week.
Two months in. Just do your job. All right.
I'm getting better. I have a vision.
All right. You need to. BB King, the thrill is gone. I have no idea what the theme is yet. I throw out my best guesses.
Is it that everybody's leaving, like, after today?
It is not.
It's the dead
time. That would have been good.
It's
a dead time.
Checking out today. Rookies are doing whatever rookies are doing right now. I'm not even quite sure what they're doing. What did Marquise Lee say they do yesterday?
Eat.
Like, sounded like some calisthenics or something.
Yeah. It's like they couldn't throw, but they were working out, basically.
He said a few sprints.
Yeah. It wasn't much.
I mean,
whatever it was, it wasn't much.
Here are your bonus days with your rookies.
Today he's handing out ice cream.
He is handing out ice cream, which is nice.
Yeah.
It's nice of Marquise with no you to do. Where's he handing out ice cream?
I got to get the email pulled up.
I thought you had it right in front of you there.
I just remember that they were doing that.
It's nice of him.
Today. It is. Very nice of him.
All right. They do all kinds of things like that. But, you know, often get overlooked. Fortunately, this team hasn't had a lot of chance to have those kind of things overshadowed recently. You know, with the exception of Justin Blackman, they haven't had many off-the-field issues. They had the Maurice Jones-Drew did he swing, did he not situation last summer. But
yep.
it's been pretty quiet on that whole front for the most part. When you consider some teams that have multiple issues ongoing.
Oh, they always do. Somebody will get in trouble this offseason. But Marquise Lee, Bluebell Ice Cream deliveries to three summer camp locations here in town. One over on Winthrop Street here in about an hour and a half. Then at 12:30 he'll be over on East 8th Street with the third going to the Eastside Police Athletic League.
That's fantastic.
That's really cool.
Lauren Brooks just sent me all the addresses as well with the ice cream stops.
So you can get lots of ice creams
there. You have it. I'm going to hold a camp right here in the Jaguars Today studios and have them bring the ice cream to me. I don't need to go chasing down the ice
cream
truck. By the way, a total aside here. I love the ice cream truck, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Great memories of the ice cream truck, right?
Sure.
And a toasted almond ball from my father. One of the greatest routines of all time. I really love the ice cream truck. And to the point where I kind of made a pact with myself, because it's so infrequent that the ice cream truck comes through my neighborhood, that if I ever get a chance to stop the ice cream truck, I'll buy my kid an ice cream from the ice cream truck, because there's nothing quite like paying $3.75 for that popsicle, okay? And just eating it right there as the heat makes it drip down your hand. It's just something about summer and childhood and all that fantastic stuff. Why does the ice cream truck go down the block at 80 miles per hour? By the time you hear the deet-deet-deet-deet-deet-deet, it's gone.
Yeah.
It's gone.
You gotta cruise through.
Cruise slow. Are you trying to, I mean, you get paid by the mile? I don't understand how you make your money. Don't you get paid by selling the ice cream, which would require you to not run over the children, but to stop for them when they want the ice cream?
Yeah, it's kind of the point.
Toasted almond ball.
You know, it's kind of the point to creep through a neighborhood and let the kids find the truck. I mean, if you zip through.
Or at least
through,
let the parents with the money find
right.
the truck.
If you zip through, I mean.
It kind of defeats the purpose.
What's
I
the
think.
Point? You
right.
don't really want to be in that neighborhood, so
I
don't
get it.
Go
well, I crank up your deep, 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 deep music so I can hear you from several blocks away, please. And then, you know, 15 miles an hour ought to be sufficient. And you don't have to be, you know, chased down the block.
Sure.
Give me a little warning.
And when you see the parents running down the street behind you, stop.
I've told the ice cream truck, because I have stopped it on occasion if you happen to be outside. If you're ever on my block, just stop in front of my house and, like, honk the horn. I will come out and buy a popsicle for $3.75. I might
seems like
get
a good
tired
deal.
Of that. That seems like a good deal for them.
Yeah.
You know, they'd probably get a couple of boxes of those. All right, 641-1010 is the number if you'd like to get on board. Let us start our morning by talking to our friend Jerome here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Jerome. How are you?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're great. What's up, man?
I just got a quick question about Bortles. Compared to, like, the rookie class that he came out of, which rookie quarterbacks do y'all, like, in y'all's opinion, are doing, like, good or making, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who's kind of making, creating a buzz for themselves a little bit, you mean?
Yeah.
Tony, from my perspective, just, you know, you hear, it's hard to get a gauge on Manziel, because I think they're trying to keep public expectation down as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear Brian Hoyer's so clearly out in front, this, that, and, you know, he's doing he's doing good things, but he's a backup quarterback. The one guy that seems to me to have generated the most positive reviews is Derek Carr, to be honest with you, that Oakland, actually Mark Davis, Al's son, who now runs the team, really considered taking him with their first round pick, is what you hear. Whether that's true or not, maybe that's a way to make themselves look better for landing him in the early second round, but that the early returns are that he's better than the coaching staff expected. He's clearly moved up to number two right now, which I don't know how big of a feat that is when Matt McGloin was the guy trying to hold you down in that spot, and clearly they drafted you with an eye on at some point you're going to get your chance, but he's gotten some positive buzz, and it won't surprise me at all if Matt Schaub struggles in the first month of the season that we may see Derek Carr a lot sooner than a lot of these other quarterbacks get on the field.
No, Carr is the one that I've heard the most positive buzz about. And look, he's got a brother that played in the National Football League, so he's had a coach in the house with him, which should help him. And there's no pass rush right now, which is where Carr really struggles. While he was in college, it was when there were people in his face. So during these OTAs, where it's basically like we've set a passing camp, he's a guy that should look pretty good in shorts and a helmet. And he has to this point for the Oakland Raiders. And again, he's being compared to Matt Schaub every day in practice. So, and Schaub looked like a shell of the man that he was last year compared to 2-3 years ago even. So who knows where Schaub is in his own head at this point, having gone out to Oakland from Houston. But yeah, Carr's a guy that's looked pretty good. Bridgewater, you've heard some good things, at least about him coming out of Minnesota a little bit. And look, Johnny Manziel, again, I agree with you. I think they're trying to keep it under wraps up there as much as they possibly can because he gets enough exposure as it is. I mean, he's got a teammate in Joe Hayden basically saying that he needs somebody to control his cell phone at this point because he's distracted by what's going on with the team. I mean, that's the kind of coverage that Johnny Manziel gets that nobody else does, and I think they're trying to shield him as far as what he's doing on the field as much as they can because it's the only thing that the Browns can control right now.
Yeah, and Hayden, I thought the way I took it was, like, he needs to get rid of the cell phone or have some cell phone moratorium when his friends go out. Do what you're going to do, just don't broadcast it. Don't post it on Instagram. Sure. Don't post it on Facebook. I don't know if he uses Facebook or not. I may have just really dated myself. I have no idea. don't post it on MySpace, John. But, you know, it was more like do what you're going to do, but don't put yourself in a position to be criticized. Keep it under wraps. Akron Beacon Journal guy wrote a column today basically saying, imploring the Cleveland Browns to sit him down and say enough is enough, that they said he's 5 for 5 on going out and partying every weekend since he's been there in Cleveland. And it's funny because this exact same writer even was one who said don't make a big deal about him going out to Vegas. And now I guess he's determined that 5 weekends is too many.
That's too much.
One's not too many. Maybe 2 is not too many. Hanging with Drake, that's just a normal weekend for most people.
Sure.
But you hit 5, and that's probably the limit.
It is funny, though. We talked to Marquise Lee yesterday. We're going to have the opportunity to talk to Blake Bortles today. And
I'm going to take the opportunity.
Do those guys even feel like they have really the time? Right? I mean, during an install phase, you're brand new. You've been in this whirlwind as a rookie. Do you really feel like if you're a guy like Marquise Lee or Blake Bortles, do you have the time? Yeah, I'm just going to go party for 2 days. Like, I don't get that sense from the rookies that we've talked to in Jacksonville. So from that perspective, when that is what Johnny Manziel's doing, I can see where some people are going, what, is he serious about this? But you drafted him knowing that's who he was, and to question it now is just stupidity.
Well, he did also say, leading up to the draft, that he needed to tone it down. He's, you know, it's all about business now. So, you know, in part, I think he's brought it on himself because he has made comments contradictory to the way he's gone about it. You're right. His behavior led you to believe that's the guy he is. And
that's who he is.
Again, it's not like he's out there committing crimes, you know, but
he's partying.
You know, is it a crime? It may not be a crime, but are you doing everything you can for the organization? Are you dedicating yourself enough? I don't know if he is or isn't. I don't know if you could tell after 5 weekends what is he doing in the other times. How prepared is he? Is he showing up for practice not knowing the play calls? Those kind of things. You know, if you can get your work done and you could be prepared and still enjoy your life, more power to you. You know, I, on record, would have loved to have had him here. the buzz he would have created. I think he could play, number one, but the buzz would have been fantastic. But it came with this buzz, too. You know, it, you would have had constantly, if Manziel goes out there and he goes, you know, 10 for 20 for 107 yards, oh, he's a bust because he never put in the time because he's out there drinking every weekend, and on it would go, which may or may not have any direct correlation to his performance on the field in any given week.
No, and I think in the end, the moral of the story with Johnny Manziel is prepare yourself, people. When he's got 3 or 4 weeks where he's got no team obligations, it's going to be every day, where's Johnny Manziel? And between that and the coverage that you're about to be inundated with of LeBron James, you're going to be sick of the names LeBron and Manziel by the time we get to training camp opening up. It's going to,
don't forget Carmelo.
It's just going to drive you crazy.
Get the three of them together. And then Drake, it's the fearsome foursome. Back to the phone lines we go, 641-1010. Memphis Mac up next here on Jaguars Today. What's up, Mac?
Hey, Mike, listen, and stay in the same breath there. What's the report on, what's Mettenberger doing? McCarron, how is, you know, how are other SEC guys doing?
Well, I mean, nothing notable, put it that way. I mean, they're not in any way challenging for anybody's job, nor were they really drafted to do that. Hopefully we're going to catch up with Jim Wyatt later on this week, covering the Tennessee Titans. We'll find out a little bit more about Zach Mettenberger and, you know, what kind of impact he's making. He may have the better chance out of those two in particular, Tony, in the long term, because they didn't pick up the fifth-year option on Jake Locker's contract in Tennessee. I think they are committed to Andy Dalton. Rightly or wrongly, I think they're going to say, you know what, we could do a lot worse than Andy Dalton. I think eventually he'll get a contract extension with the Cincinnati Bengals. And I think McCarron is ticketed for long-term backup duties, to be honest with you. And I honestly, I think Mettenberger is as well. He may start, both of those guys may start games at some point. I don't think they'll ever be successful starters. It takes an awful lot to be a successful starter in the National Football League. I don't think McCarron has, or Mettenberger has, the mobility. We talked about that. Just the pocket escape ability. I mean, he is such a big lumbering stiff to me in the pocket. It's one thing to not be Mike Vick. It's another thing to be this generation's Drew Bledsoe, but maybe slower in the pocket. And that led to some, you know, big hits Bledsoe took over his career. And I haven't heard any buzz whatsoever on A.J. McCarron at this point.
No, I haven't heard anything about A.J. McCarron. Did talk to Paul Kaharsky a couple weeks ago, who covers the Titans for ESPN.com in the same capacity that Mike DiRocco does the Jags for ESPN. And, you know, asked him what's going on at the quarterback situation in the mini camps and everything, and he said Locker looks like Locker, and Mettenberger looks
like... What does that mean?
It looks
Do
like...
Do we know enough about Locker to know what that means?
I assume in my own head that that's kind of like saying Henny looks like Henny.
Or does that mean Locker, like, flashes that impressive athleticism and he makes a jaw-dropping throw one out of every 10 attempts and then rest
obviously
of the time
a lot of pressure on that guy. I mean, Jake Locker is basically
playing
for a contract.
Is he hurt? Is that what he means? Is he hurt? Is he,
no,
like, on the sideline?
He's,
but he Jake looks like
said,
Jake.
Yeah, like, Mettenberger looks like a guy, you can see the arm, but everything else is a mess.
And that's fine,
yeah,
by the way, when you get drafted in the fifth round or
that's
whatever
what
those
you
guys.
Should be. That's why you draft a guy.
They're project players at this point in time. All right, let's get one more in before we break. That would be Darren, next up here on Jaguars Today. Hey, Darren.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, no, I just want to comment. I know you guys were talking about Johnny Manziel, and I just kind of want to chime in with that because, well, I mean, of course, we get the comparison Tim Tebow and Johnny Manziel a lot. And of course, I mean, we beat that dead horse, you know, enough. I'm not going to go into that, the Tim Tebow, era any further. I mean, I was a fan, but that day is, done and over with. But it does pose a question. I mean, aside from the conspiracy of why Tim Tebow did not make it into the league, I always assumed
what conspiracy?
That it was, well, you know, a lot of people just feel like that, there were certain people who didn't want, Tim Tebow to come to their league or
which
to
people?
You know, I don't know. So, I mean, some guys are listening to ESPN or you know, maybe just a couple of clowns, me talking around the water cooler, you know, somebody that didn't know what they were saying. But I've heard a bunch of different conspiracies, you know, on why Tim Tebow did not make it. You know, just certain people who probably didn't know what they were talking about. And I mean, my point is that I feel like the reason why Tim did not make it was because of the, you know, just the whole show, you know, the whole circus act that a lot of teams just didn't really want to put up with. And
right,
I think
because they felt like his talent level wasn't such that you're willing to put up with it. You know what I mean? Like, if Peyton Manning had all this other stuff, you'd put up with it. If Andrew Luck had it, you'd put up with it because of what they feel his NFL potential is. Not enough people believed in Tim's talent to take all the extra stuff along with it, I think.
Do you think that Manziel could go the way of Tim Tebow with all of the circus act that he has coming along?
If he can't play, yeah. I mean, he could. Sure he could. If Darren, he proves that he's kind of a one-trick pony, that stuff worked in college, not going to work in the pros. You know, he can't sit in the pocket and win from the pocket. Tony, make all the throws necessary. If he's too inconsistent, I mean, Tim Tebow, I'm sure, sold a lot of merchandise for the Denver Broncos. Manziel's going to do the same for the Cleveland Browns. But
absolutely.
Tebow won games, but did it in a not efficient style, I think is a fair way to put it. If Manziel doesn't play good football over the next 3-4 years, then yeah, he certainly could go that way. I don't see the Manziel Fuhrer dying down anytime soon, but I don't think it's anywhere approaching Tebow mania. Do you? I mean, Manziel's a popular figure. He's got a backstory that we all know.
I don't think there's no dividing lines right now with Manziel on the same level that there was with Tebow.
Do you hear about like 50 deep, you know, lines of people waiting to see, you know, every move he makes?
No, you don't see that kind of thing. But I think that there is something to the fact that even when Tebow came into the league, there were so many people that were so, he can't play. He can't play the position in the NFL. He doesn't deserve the opportunity to even try this thing. And there were the other people who believed in Tim. And what he did on the field kept fueling the fire for both sides, because the people who just said, well, he's a winner, that's all he does is win, and the people who said he can't throw a football in the National Football League, they were both right. For that 1 year in Denver, they were both right, so the lines only got more drawn on Tim Tebow, and the rock star status that he had only grew with that season that he had in Denver. But a guy like Johnny Manziel, it's not on that level. There's not a lot of people screaming that he can't play in the NFL. We're all waiting to see if the style works with Manziel, and we're willing to tolerate the lifestyle that he's living because we're curious to see if it's going to work.
Right,
and if it does, if he proves he can't play, he'll be gone in 3 years.
Or he'll be put in line and told to tone things down considerably, rightly or wrongly. You know, talent gets you a lot of perks in life. Just ask Fat Tony. All right, we got to take a quick break.
It's truth.
641-1010. We're going to come back here from Cecil Shorts. Coming up, don't forget Blake Bortles, a little over, just about an hour away, joining us live here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Be proud, Tony. Be loud. Zos going to do it again. You know they are. What you got? What was the first one? B.B. King is, and what was the name of the song?
The Thrill Is Gone.
The Thrill Is Gone. Charlie Daniels Band, The South's Gonna Do It Again.
What do these two things have in common?
The Thrill Is Gone. The South's Gonna Do It Again. What you got? Somehow SEC football related.
You're close. You have half of it. SEC related.
Oh, Vandy.
There you go.
I let you get it. The South's going to do it again. The thrill is gone.
The SEC's been really good in the College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. I thought
B.B. King and Charlie Daniels are both from Tennessee.
Will the Thrill Clark played at like Mississippi State? What does the thrill is gone refer to?
B.B. King's from Tennessee.
Oh, because B.B. King.
He made his musical home in Memphis.
Home of the Blues.
Vandy makes their home in
Nashville.
That'd be like somebody.
There's a lot of them
song,
there artists from
like
Nashville.
By Tony Orlando and Dawn on and saying that has to do with Jacksonville because Orlando's in Florida. You're one of them, aren't you?
The theme is Tennessee.
There is absolutely zero way we're going to have room to play Cecil Shorts at this moment.
That is correct. We're going to have to talk more about Nashville.
I'm helping out my producer right now. We'll do that. I tell you what, we'll do that after this date in football history, which is coming up, and it's juicy, this date in football history that we'll delve into today. I think later in the week, Tony, we may do a little kind of poll on which home game is the most appealing on the Jags schedule. Variable pricing for the first time for the Jags. Probably pretty smart. By the way, if you're a Jags season ticket holder, one of the many perks is that you can buy single game tickets early, beginning today. As a matter of fact, from today through Thursday, you can save You can get the group discount price on most of the games, and for the Giants and the Steeler games, I think you save $5 a ticket off the face value price. So, you know, not going to make you rich, but if you can save $5, you can buy 8 tickets, save $40, why wouldn't you save the money if you could do it?
No and doubt.
One of the perks of being a season ticket holder. But Steeler game, 40% markup on the Steelers. Good. If the dirty Steeler fans are going to come to the stadium and try to buy tickets, let them pay the freight. Let them pay extra for it. Hopefully it'll be packed with Jag fans. That's always preferable. But that dirty traveling band of vagabonds and vagrants that call themselves Steeler fans seem to find their way and infiltrate their way into various stadia across the United States of America. I'm guessing probably because most of them are unemployed and have most of the week to travel around in their hippie caravans or in their gypsy wagons and whatever they take to get to the game on Sunday. Is that an accurate representation of Steeler Nation?
I will not bash Steeler Nation. I come
from
a
suck fan. Up to Steeler Nation?
I'm not going to suck up
your
to Steeler
Nation.
Your family
is a bunch of gypsy vagabonds.
My mother and brother are Steeler fans.
Well, so they are gypsy vagabonds. And they're going to pay 40% more.
My grandfather grew up in Altoona, which is a suburb of Pittsburgh. So he at least grew up in the area. That's the reason that my mom became a Steeler fan. And my brother did as well. I don't know how I didn't. I just didn't. So
no, you became a Giant fan. You're only paying 20% more. Your family has been targeted. You have been targeted by the Jacksonville Jaguar organization.
Sure.
Steeler game, October 5th. It will be 40% more. I think O'Halloran's example today in the TU. By the way, we talked a lot about it yesterday. If you haven't read Ryan O'Halloran's 53-man roster projection, it's in today's Times Union, or go to jacksonville.com and check that out. It's definitely worth the read. I thought he still was going down swinging on Ace Sanders a little bit. We'll explain that in a minute. But $78 ticket, for instance, to the Steeler game would cost $115. Good. With those gypsies, you know, run a few more confidence games, and, you know, get their pennies together,
right,
and do whatever they have to do. That's what I understand that your mom does, runs a bunch of con games.
Gypsies.
On people. Is that wrong to say?
That would be wrong.
Is it?
You will not denigrate my mother in that fashion.
I love your mom. Your mom is a fantastic maker of the most delicious lemon squares in the history of mankind. But nevertheless, tickets go on sale for the general public Friday, I believe, for that, right? For single game sales if
yes,
you're not
do.
A season ticket holder. But if you are, you can take advantage of some good pricing. So if you're going to, and we don't encourage you to do that, but if you're going to resell your tickets to Steeler fans anyway, make sure you get more than the 40% markup on the deal. You
know? Absolutely.
Make some cash. Make them pay through the nose as far as that goes. Last year, we had the Steeler center, Marquise Pouncey, missed the season. What do you have, an ACL? Was it an ACL for him?
I think it was.
I want to say it was. Mike Pouncey now in Miami is out 3 months at least with a labrum tear in his hip. They're going to have, if he's not ready for the start of the season, which that timetable doesn't appear like he'll be ready for the start of the year, they're going to have 5 new starters on the offensive line, which may not be a bad thing because they were horrendous on the offensive line last year. They got Brandon Albert in from Kansas City and who was it, Juwan Jones, I think they drafted out of Tennessee. To play right tackle. So you're going to have new starters across the line. I wonder, does that make it more or less likely for Mike Pouncey to get a long-term deal? You know, we're just talking about what teams will put up with. Well, Mike Pouncey, if you follow the story, was right there in the middle of the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin situation as one of the kind of the ringleaders of the clubhouse bullying, if you will. But he was clearly the best player involved in that. And while the rest have fallen by the wayside, Martin got shipped off to San Francisco, and Incognito is currently teamless, and there was another player or two, I think, in there that quietly had their contracts expire, were let go by the Dolphins. Mike Pouncey, still being talked about because of his talent, getting a long-term extension. I think he's going into a contract year, Tony. If he's, you know, there's one point of view that if he's out, they'll see what life's like without him, and it may increase his market value. But when you've got a lot of strikes against you, or at least a glaring strike against you, in the case of Mike Pouncey, keep in mind he's the one who wore the free Hernandez shirt. Marquise apologized, or the hat, whatever it was. Marquise apologized for the poor choice. Mike apparently still supports, you know, Aaron Hernandez, and I suppose that means supports him unconditionally, or, you know, whatever. He's not exactly a PR person's dream.
No.
You know, if you know what I mean. And so we'll see if that makes it. What do you think? More or less likely to get an extension? I think he's got to come back and show he can play, right? I mean, if you go, let's say this thing goes on for 5 months and you play half a season and you're less than 100%, how can that help you get a contract extension? I don't know if I can see that.
No, it can't possibly help you get a contract extension. You think that he has to come back and show that he can still be the high caliber player that he was. And look, we'll see if that's the kind of return they get from a guy like Pouncey. He's a talented guy, but like you said, there's a lot of red flags in just this short time in the league already with him. And are the Dolphins willing to put up with somebody else that is kind of a reminder of that whole Incognito Martin situation if they don't feel like they're getting the same talent out of that player as well? It's an interesting situation for the Dolphins, who now are going to go into the season a lot like Jacksonville with five guys that have never played together.
I've got for you, Tony, from Glenn Parrish on Twitter, at Overtime Sports 1, sent some suggestions for you and Loggeman if I can get this grudge match bet going. If somehow Virginia can win tonight, okay?
The Brain Bowl, College World Series.
Would that be what it would be? Okay, sure. Virginia is a pretty well-thought-of school in that regard. Then if it comes down to a one-game winner-take-all scenario, then if Virginia were to beat Vanderbilt, you would have to dress in Ralph Sampson gear, including the shorts from the Ralph Sampson era, and I guess show up to work for that. If Vandy wins, Loggeman has to sing Sail On, of course, by the Commodores, and he has to do that, I don't know why, and he has to do that live on air while wearing Gloria Vanderbilt skinny jeans.
Oh, my gosh.
That may be a little more difficult, that end of it. That's it. That's the bet. I think you get off easy.
Comparatively,
on that one.
Yes.
Tony rocks those early 80s, gym shorts quite frequently, as a matter of fact, here on the Jaguars.
How much taller is Ralph Sampson than you, Tony?
How tall is Tony?
A foot and a half, at least.
What are you, 5'10?
2 feet.
2 feet. How tall are you?
I'm 5'9 and a half, something like that.
He's 5'9. Everyone throws in the other half. Everyone rounds up, Lauren.
I am what I am.
That's true. I was going to say hula hooping, by the way.
I'll round you up to 5'10.
I can't hula hoop.
I figured Jeff might can. I'm not sure, but I think you should have to wear the other team's shirts. You'll have to switch shirts and then hula hoop the loser. Although, why would Loggeman do this bet when his team's already down 1-0?
If Virginia wins tonight.
Oh, right, after, okay.
Bet. Yeah, I did say Lauren had a great, something great. Now, all right, so that was your idea with the hula.
And obviously we have to video it.
Oh, obviously. That all goes without saying. Tony's thinking if he wore actual Ralph Sampson shorts, being that Sampson was 7'4", they may come down like mid-thigh on him. I think they wouldn't be short. Proportional
they
to you.
They actually have to be a piece of memorabilia.
I wonder how many people are Googling Ralph Sampson right now, by the way.
I hope not.
I
really?
Bet a lot of people are.
I bet they are too.
Really?
Really?
Really? Oh, yes, now. The time you have all waited for once again has arrived. This date, Tony, in football history.
What do we got?
What happened on this date in football history? We'll find out courtesy of Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Actually, a significant one.
Oh.
The APFA. We all remember the early Shield, right? Back in the early 20s, what the Shield looked like. It said APFA on it, the American Professional Football Association. 2 years of that mouthful. And then they decided in 1922, why don't we just call ourselves the National Football League?
I think that worked out for them.
So in a sense, the NFL was born today. The Chicago Staleys, as well, change their name to the Chicago Bears on this date. So the Bears were born, and the Staleys died, and the NFL came into existence, sort of, even though the league had existed, but not in that name. So there you have it. Back in 1922, on this date in football history, the APFA became the NFL that you know it today. Also, on this date in 1973. Now we wish a happy 41st birthday to former Jaguar Michael Cheever. Oh, what could have been for Michael Cheever? 17 games with the Jags in the regular season, including six starts. Back injury forced him into way premature retirement. A guy that they thought was going to be a building block piece on that offensive line in the early years. And obviously injuries are certainly something you don't anticipate, you can't plan for, and or I guess you can do your best to avoid them. But Michael Cheever had his career cut short. So that's what happened on this date in football history. It's brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, or you're just in the market for a family dentist, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225. They are a certified Invisalign provider as well, and you can get a 10% off all first-time customer initial visits. Visit jamesjmccall.com for a complete list of comprehensive care services. Now, I'll blame this on Lauren, first of all, that I'm told in a very stern tone by our producer that we cannot play the Cecil Shorts interview until the next segment, because we want to play it in its full glory.
Yep. Very stern tone.
And she was wagging a finger at me, I'm sure, across the electronic lines of communication. So that's what
by the
got.
Way, Mike, I'm looking at apparently they only played two seasons at the APFA.
APFA, American Professional Football Association.
And I'm looking at the 1921 season, which would have been the last season that they were called that. There's one NFL team that is still around in the same city.
Same name. New York Giants.
No.
There
was a... It wasn't technically the New York Giants. There was a New York Brickley Giants.
The Brickley Giants.
They survived two games before they folded in 1921.
Arizona Cardinals. I kid. Let's see. It's got to be some...
Heritage.
It's got Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
Are the only ones that made it. The
Is
Staley's,
that your clue? Were we playing Taboo there? Well, and you went with Heritage?
Heritage would have gotten you there.
Or were you speaking of the Cardinals? It was hard to tell.
No. The Buffalo All-American. What's interesting about looking at the season standings is how many teams folded before they even got through the regular season. The New York Brickley Giants only made it through two games after going 0-2. The Louisville Brecks played two games. The Muncie Flyers played two games. Tonawanda Cardex, whatever that is, folded after one game in the league that year. You talk about the difference between the NFL, between now and the early days of this game trying to find its footing in this country. I mean, that is crazy that they had franchises that were only surviving one and two games in a season before financially they just said, nope, can't do this. No one's going to make money doing professional football in this country. We're done with this. We're washing our hands of the entire experiment.
The AFPA, baby. We knew you. We loved you. And then you changed and everything since then has been downhill. I mean, really.
The Detroit Tigers went 1-5-1.
Did they?
Yeah.
Football's never going to work in Detroit. And no. They were actually right about that.
The Washington Senators, I mean, that's a couple teams that are just playing off the names of baseball teams in those cities, including the Giants in New York.
Rip-off artists.
Yeah. But that's what they needed to do. They felt like to grab any kind of market shares, relate to what was going on in baseball, how things have changed.
Or horse racing.
Yeah.
There were several teams named the Seabiscuits in the 1930s, from what I'm told. But I'll have to check on that later to be sure. Fortunato told me that. I'm still fact-checking that. Did you see Joe Philbin's son accused of leaving the scene of a crash?
No.
See the details on this? Which is, no laughing matter, certainly, but no fatalities or anything like that. Doesn't appear any major injuries. So he's accused of leaving the scene of a car crash, which is coincidental because his dad was accused of leaving the scene of a train wreck every time he went home from the Dolphins facility last year. Oh, but I'm bumped. Thank you, Fortunato. Check this out. He was driving the wrong way on a one-way street and allegedly collided with a 22-year-old female who suffered arm, head, and neck injuries. And I mean, those sound serious, but nothing life-threatening, anything like that. A witness asked Matthew Philbin, can I use your phone to call for help? He said, nope, don't call the police. And then he hailed a cab and fled the scene in the cab. I don't know if his car was too damaged or what from striking the young lady, but or maybe he decided, I don't know which way this road goes. Anyway, he decided, I don't know how he paid for the cab because he left his wallet, including his military ID and his phone. On the phone were text messages from a friend who expressed concern that Matthew Philbin was driving drunk. And then, it goes on, his attorney allegedly calls police, says, can you postpone the investigation because Matthew Philbin is due to be promoted to captain in the military coming up, and we don't want to spoil that now, do we? The crash victim's father learned of the request and then personally called Fort Hood, where he was stationed, to tell them about the charges. So that's what you got going on. It's been a bad little stretch for the Dolphins, right? No Sean Moreno.
Yep.
He's got to have arthroscopic surgery on his knee. Has looked out of shape. That may be due to the fact that he's not 100% healthy, but he's going to be sidelined for about 5 weeks or so. Mike Pouncey for 3 months. And I don't know if this is, you know, it doesn't relate necessarily to the Dolphins, but it can't be good. I mean, Philbin's one son took his life, right? And, I mean, he's had just a terrible go of it from that aspect. Yep. I mean, that's a horrible, tragic situation. This is one that fortunately doesn't appear to be tragic because he didn't kill anybody. But, man, just enough with the getting behind the wheel when you're drunk, people. Why is this so difficult in 2014?
I don't know.
They were probably saying that the third year into the Model T, weren't they? These idiots
we need is prohibition.
Well, yeah, that sounds like a Cracker Jack plan, and let's see how that works out.
Let's cut down on the boozing.
By the way, have you guys ever heard of Uber?
Uber what?
Uber is the name of the company.
No. Maybe. I don't know. What do they do?
Okay, so it's like an upgraded taxi service, and there's an app for your phone. Yeah.
You love this thing.
I love Uber, yes. So
give us a shout-out to Uber. What's the story with Uber?
So you can do everything from your phone directly. You don't have to make a phone call and wait on hold for someone to answer. You put your credit card in one time, and then it will send you the picture of the driver that's coming to pick you up. It can give you a fare quote so you know exactly how much it's going to cost you before you leave. So if you're ever going, let's say, to even like a Suns baseball game and you don't want to find parking because you think it's going to be crowded, even if you're not drinking, you can use Uber, get down there. It's not much more expensive than a taxi cab. And then you don't have to worry about parking. You know, you don't have to pay to park. It's fantastic.
All right. Memo to 1010XL sales staff.
Connect me with Uber.
Hook up Lauren Brooks as a spokesperson for Uber. She did a pretty damn good job there.
Oh, I thank you.
And an unpaid testimonial for, for Uber, which has got more run than they have any right to deserve or you know, think of.
They're
here
fantastic.
On the program. Fantastic. We're happy for them and all those who use their service. All right, coming up next, Cecil Shorts. Don't forget, tweet us today or post on the Facebook page, facebook.com/JaguarsToday, on Twitter, @MD_1010XL, @1010XLFatTony, @1010XLLauren. Which rookie has the biggest impact for the Jags in 2014? With Blake Bortles about 25 minutes away from joining us live here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
The Jaguars have a new radio home.
That is the number one thing.
1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Starts with winning, quite frankly.
The Jacksonville Jaguars and 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Hi, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Coming up, Blake Bortles, your quarterback of the future, about 18 minutes away, if the schedule holds tight. So with that, we'll also wrap up towards the end some of your feedback on which rookie will make the biggest impact on the field for the Jags in 2014. Still welcome to tweet and post on Facebook your replies to that. Yesterday, the boys from the drill caught up with Cecil Shorts. We enjoyed the interview, and we wanted to give you a chance to hear it in case you missed it.
Well, you're listening to the drill. Let's welcome Jaguar receiver Cecil Shorts III to the program on the Southern Oak Insurance Coverage Hotline. Cecil, how are you? Thanks
Morning,
for the
Cecil.
Time.
Hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You're gotcha. Got up early on a Monday. I know you're an early riser anyway, right?
Yeah, I was up at 4 this morning taking my wife to the airport, so I was up for a long time.
Hey, let's talk about you and the United Way. And look, I've seen you around the community a lot already. You clearly want to be involved in the community. You clearly want to give back. Your story is a great one. And really, any young person should hear your story, and you know the challenges that you faced, and making it all the way to the NFL and establishing yourself as a receiver. But why the United Way, and why do you want to work with kids and encourage them with school? Why have you chosen this path?
I did a little bit with United Way last year. I'm mentoring middle school kids over at Eugene Butler.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, this year I wanted to kind of get out of my comfort zone and try to impact more kids. And, you know, I just wanted to give back what was given to me, you know, was a good male role model in the community. and that's trying to impact kids that at the middle school age and try to impact them younger, so when they get older, it can affect them. So I'm just trying to give back in my way.
All right, we see so many of you guys, Cecil, give back in you know, either whether it's football camps or mathletes, which you're recognizing. It's important to not lose sight what a big deal it is for these kids. I mean, and it must be cool to see. I mean, now you're 13, 14 years old. You're meeting an NFL player. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. You know what I mean? You think back when you were that age, and just to meet a NFL player or hang out with an NFL player at any time was a huge deal. So every time I try to hang out, every time I mentor the guys or hang out with the fellas, I try to make that experience a good one. You know what I mean? Because this is something they'll remember the rest of their life.
And you choose to spend the time. I saw you in action last year with a couple of your teammates talking to some of those kids. And you know, it's, I mean, look, you're busy during the season. You take some of that time on Tuesday and you give back. That takes a little bit of a commitment. So I'm just curious why it's so important to you.
Just want to give back what was given to me. You know what I mean? I had the opportunity to have my father in my life. I grew up in a two parent home, which is rare nowadays. So, you know what I mean? A lot of kids are struggling just in the one parent home and not having, like I said, a positive male figure in their life that's doing the right thing, that's trying to, you know, take steps towards it being a good person. So I'm just trying to be that guy and, you know, give kids like a little extra motivation. If it's a little motivation or a big motivation, to try to impact kids in their lives type of way.
Staying near impossible, Cecil, in today's day and age to play an injury-free football season in the NFL. The guys are just too fast and too big and they hit hard. They're very violent. but do you think about maybe like, you know, what your ceiling could be from a number standpoint if you could get 16 relatively fully healthy games in?
Yeah, I do. And I'm doing my best to get there, you know what I mean? I'm changing my eating habits.
What are we doing eating? What are we changing from? What are we good? From what to what? Like when you say you're changing your eating habits, where are you going?
Just more healthy. You know what I mean?
No more McDonald's?
No more McDonald's, no more Chick-fil-A.
Yeah. Better you than me, pal.
No more Popeyes, nothing like that. Just trying to eat right and take care of my body more than massages, chiropractor, dry needling, whatever I need to do. So I can get, you know, a full game of 16 plus games in the season.
Cecil,
but like you said, you're gonna get banged up. Everybody's big, everybody's fast. That's just part of football.
Hey Cecil, a year ago we were heading into the relatively unknown new coach, new GM, new attitude around with the Jaguars. Now everybody's been very complimentary. I'm just curious, as you watch this unfold with a front row seat, what's it been like? How are things different this year? Can you tell already, just without the pads, that you know there's an improvement on this team with some of the free agents and the young kids that have been brought in? What are just your overall thoughts about the direction of the program?
I think the direction we're going in is awesome. It's very exciting. You know what I mean, we have the same coaching staff for the first time since I've been here two years in a row. So yeah, it's a lot more confidence when you're playing on the field. I mean, from the offensive perspective, you know what you got to offense for the guys that have been here. You know what I mean? Now you go out there and you're just working on your technique. You know what I mean? So you've seen the offense click a little bit more. The defense is flying around. When you add guys like Chris Clemens and Rare Bryant, Ziggy Hood, on the defensive side, it just brings a lot more confidence on the defensive line. It brings competition as well. The same thing on offense. When you draft guys like, you know, Blake Bortles and you bring in Toby, you bring in two, stud receivers, you bring in offensive linemen, it brings competition. And that's the main culture. You know what I mean? They want competition. They want competitiveness. And guys out there just making each other better by playing hard and practicing hard. So it's a lot of fun out there.
Last couple of years, as Cecil, you've had, you know, one quarterback getting the reps in practice and designated as a starter. And you've had, you know, a different guy coming in and bailing you out when and if you had the offensive success. How much of an advantage is it for you, you know, to have Chad Henne from the meeting room to the practice field to game day, you know, just from a chemistry standpoint?
I think it's awesome. You know what I mean? I think it's an advantage for him as well because he knows that he's a starter. He knows the plan. You know what I mean? Before they try to name somebody else a starter and then he'll come in for a game and he'll sit out two games. You know what I mean? So he just knows he's a starter. He can just focus on getting our chemistry together with me and the other receivers. And it's exciting. It's exciting just to have some stability for a change, you know?
And with that said, everybody wants to know, what about the kid, though? Obviously, the Jaguars invest in a high draft pick in Bortles. Just your thoughts and impressions on Blake Bortles through just the very, very beginning stages of his NFL career.
I like him. I might be a little biased. We had the same agent.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah. You were there at the press conference. That's true.
And, yes, but I like him a lot. He's a hungry kid. He's a humble kid. You know what I mean? It's not, but he's not airing it at all. I think Dave and Gus and the coaching staff did a great job, you know, getting guys that fit our culture. And Blake fits our culture very well. He's going to be out there. He's going to go out there and compete. He's doing a good job picking up the plays. And I think we're going to do a good job of taking care of him this year. You know what I mean? It's tough for a rookie quarterback to come in and play right away. It's only a select few that come in and do well. You know what I mean? The RG3s and the Lux, and you know, so from what I've seen right now, he's doing pretty good.
Cecil, let me give you a quarterback line from a former college quarterback, and you tell me if you can identify this player. He went 16 for 24 in his career for 209 yards. Now, he also had 12 catches in that same year, 3 for a touchdown, and well, May ran for 100 yards and 2 touchdowns as well. Who am I talking about?
Cecil. This is Khaled.
It's you.
It's me.
Now, does it help to have, I mean, you played quarterback in high school and started as a backup quarterback in college. I mean, does that help you as a receiver? I kind of know what that guy's thinking, that
it
position.
It does. You understand, like, you know, where I need to be at a certain time period. You understand, the pressures of a quarterback in that situation. You know what I mean? You get all the praise and you get all the negativity at the same time. So it just helps to understand this a little bit more while I'm outside running my route. So you know what I mean? It does have its advantages.
We are chatting with Cecil Shorts III, who's partnered with the United Way, has various programs that'll be coming out. Cecil's Backpack Challenge, Cecil's Mathletes. So some good stuff for Cecil as he encourages kids to stay in school, do well in school, succeed in school. Cecil, back to the league for a second. It's amazing. You know, really, you've been around 3 years. You're a young kid, and you're the leader of this group of receivers, man. I mean, it changes so fast. I mean, is that sometimes amazing to you how quickly it can change?
It does. You know what I mean? I remember my rookie year like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Not that I want to remember my rookie year, but I do remember like it was yesterday, and it happened so fast. You know what I mean? So it's exciting. To bring the other young guys in and try to teach them some stuff that I know. And, you know, a lot of them guys are so talented. I mean, Marquise can run, like crazy, after the catch. And then, you know, you got Allen Robinson that can jump out the gym. He's like a bigger receiver that we never had really here.
Right.
That can jump like that. And with Ace and, I mean, Mike Brown, he knows the offense like the back of his hand. He's probably the smartest guy in the team. And then Ace, you know, being so quick and shifty, you can do multiple things with him. And Jeff Fish has that mind where offensive mind, where he can put Ace in the backfield, put Ace in the slot, put Ace anywhere. So it's exciting.
Well, you referenced that rookie year, Cecil. You come in, I think you had maybe 2 catches. Were you worried going into year 2 that was like a make or break training camp for you? And because of that, does that make, you know, how far you've come even that much more, you know, fulfilling for you?
You know what? I don't know if I was worried, but I was determined.
Yeah.
I was definitely determined, and I have that same mindset each year to go into the training camp thinking I have to make the team. You know what I mean? Going in there proving everybody that I'm supposed to be on this team. You know what I mean? So I don't want to ever feel like getting too comfortable, like, okay, I made a couple plays, I'll make this team. No. I mean, go in there each year, prove that I belong, prove that I should be a starter, and, you know what I mean? Just keep working towards my goals.
Well, speaking of goals, this is a big season for you as well. You know, contract year and such. How do you not put too much pressure on yourself? How do you not, you know, how do you just let things kind of come to you and stay within the game and not worry about the other things? That's a tough deal, isn't it, or no?
It's a tough deal, but I think in our culture, it makes it a lot easier. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go out there and just compete every single day, continue to get better, and you know, I like practicing. Practicing is fun to go up against. I mean, against our defense, it's like a one-on-one every time because they play man coverage.
Right.
So it's a challenge every single day. So let's go out there, compete against the Allen Ball, Dwayne Gratz, and just take that to the field. You know what I mean? I'm just focusing on playing well. And then if you play well, they'll pay well. So take care of yourself.
Hey, off-season plans? Are you going to up to Minnesota
you
or
are,
not?
Aren't you?
Absolutely. I'll be in Minnesota for a week, July 6th through the 11th with some of the guys. I'm not sure how many guys are coming down, but we'll have a good turnout from the Jaguars down there, so it'll be exciting to go down there and work with Fitz again. Now, I'm not sure if Chris Carter will be down there again, but I'm sure some Hall of Famer will be down there working with us.
What do you do there, Cece? I mean, what do you get from that that, you know, you don't get as part of an off-season program or typical practices?
Well, just the opportunity to work with Larry Fitzgerald and watch him, you know, on and off the field. Mm-hmm. He's a true professional in how he acts, how he trains. He's probably the hardest working person I've ever seen work, and he's been in the league 10, 11 years, and, you know, he's probably a, you know, potential Hall of Fame guy, and just to see him continue to work that hard, continue to press forward and try to get better, it says a lot to me. And, you know, just the opportunity to work with Hall of Fame guy. I mean, Chris Carter came 1 year. Michael Irvin came another year to help work with us while we run the routes. Jerry Rice came another year. So, this is to see some of the best receivers there. Yeah. I mean, Greg Jennings, Michael Finley. I mean, there's numerous guys that come down and just work out. So, it's definitely exciting. It's definitely experience that you, as a receiver, would like to have. Like I said, just being a young receiver looking up to guys like Larry and the other guys that come down, it's pretty cool.
All right. $1 million question, Cecil. Have you, like much of America, caught soccer fever?
I can't lie to you. I have.
Yeah.
I was like, I never really was into soccer.
Me
and
too.
My little brother was like, okay, you kind of watch it. It's so fun. I'm like, okay. So I sat down and I'm watching it 24/7. Whenever it's on, I'm watching it. And it was, last night was crazy. It was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, it was. I never thought I'd get like a gut punch over a USA soccer game. Like I'm, you know, watching the Colts kick a last second field goal or something. I mean, it's just a. I'm surprised. I call last night a conversion game, Cecil. So I think a lot of people who watched just for, like, they felt it was their duty, their patriotic duty, left the game saying, oh, no, I enjoyed that. I think we got some of that.
Cecil, so we appreciate your partnering with the United Way to keep kids on track to graduation through various programs like the Backpack Challenge and Cecil's Mathletes. We appreciate all that you do in the community, and thanks for spending some time with us. Have a good offseason.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me. I'll see you in the season.
All right, there he goes, Cecil Shorts the Third.
All right, you just heard Cecil Shorts the Third on with Jeff and Dan of The Drill yesterday morning. And coming up on Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony is rookie quarterback Blake Bortles. So stay tuned to 1010XL and 92.5 FM, your home for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right, what do we got here, Lauren? With the
this
theme.
Is a little 3-6 Mafia.
And?
And?
The song is
musical
what?
Home is from Memphis.
Oh, Memphis again. I forgot to credit Alabama with Tennessee River.
Yeah,
good
I
luck
love
your
that song.
Commodores. That was our last one right now. We should have had maybe the UCF fight song, I'm thinking, right now, coming back, as we've got
now you tell me.
The future of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Blake Bortles here with us. How you doing, man? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's going well. Thanks for having me.
What was it like going home to Oviedo and, you know, having a caravan stop? Basically, from what we understand, just a couple miles from your house growing up, and, you know, have the kind of the hometown come out to support what you've been doing.
Right. I mean, I think it was literally right between, you know, right in the halfway point between my house and UCF is right where the AL house happened to be. So it was great, you know, to go be able to go back and do what Gus always talks about with connecting with the following and, you know, try and create new Jaguars fans, trying to bring some Jags fans from Orlando to Jacksonville. So it was awesome. You know, I know Storm and Cecil and myself had a great time, you know, sitting with everybody, taking pictures, signing autographs, and it was a blast.
And for you, we'll get to some of the on-field stuff with OTAs and minicamp here in a sec, but have you had a chance to really settle into Jacksonville at all yet? I know the rookies have been on just a whirlwind. Have you had a chance to get settled in Jayville?
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. You know, have definitely, you know, had this past weekend and, you know, the Monday and Tuesday today, you know, to kind of settle down. You know, so I'm renting a house in Jack's Beach and, you know, trying to do, to get used to it and acclimate it with the area as far as, you know, some unfootball related things, you know, some good places to eat, some, you know, shops to go to and hang out and see that stuff. So, trying to relax a little bit, shut it down, headed to the symposium tomorrow and then I'll start lifting again when I get back.
You come back here after that? You go to Oviedo? How are you going to spend the next few weeks?
No, I'll be here all of July. I stay here. Figured it'd be best to stay here, be in a comfortable environment, a situation and an environment that I'm going to be in for the next 6 months. Work out in our weight room, get treatment in our training room, watch film and our film room. So I think that'll be the best.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday with Marquise Lee. You guys, from the time you started your last college football season, you're go, go, go. As soon as you're done, you're getting ready for the draft. You're doing after, the combine, you're doing workouts for different teams. You come in here, you hit the ground running. Is this kind of the first chance you're going to have in the next month or so to kind of breathe a little bit?
Yeah, it really is. But, I mean, I think the biggest thing is you can't just go, you can't do nothing. Because, I mean, this is 3 or 4 weeks right now where you got to get ready to play a 17-game season. So I think, you got to stay after it. You got to keep training. I think it's important to take a little downtime, maybe go on a little weekend vacation or something like that. But, you got to get yourself in shape and ready to play.
Manziel will hook you up with some tips on where you can spend the weekend.
It never stops with that guy. How do you feel when you look at what you've done on field here in practice in the last 5 weeks? How do you feel like you've performed?
I think it was great. I think there's definitely areas where I struggled. I think there's definitely things that I need to improve on that I'll continue to work on. But I think from a learning standpoint, from taking it from, the meeting room to the field to working on certain things with Frank that I'm trying to work on physically, footwork stuff, getting better at that each and every day. And you can see it, from OTA 1 to the last day of minicamp. You can see the difference and the improvement that I've made and that, I need to continue to try and make.
You don't put yourself in the position to be drafted third overall unless you're a high-caliber athlete. You've played with high-caliber athletes. But is there somebody or maybe a couple of people that just from practices, OTAs, minicamp that you're like, wow, this is the NFL, man. This, who opened your eyes a little bit in that regard?
I think, I think the overall speed of the defense, I think, people talk about the windows and how much smaller they are and all that. And I think it's true. I think going out there, guys are covered most of the time and you got to find a way to get them the ball. I think was probably the biggest thing for me is saying, well, that guy's covered. It's like, well, you're in the NFL. They're all covered. You got to find a way to get them the ball and put it in a spot where the defender can't get it and your guy can. So I think that was the eye opening thing for me is the overall speed and athleticism, of our defense. And it was great to go against them, all OTAs.
You've mentioned before, Blake, that you're focusing on the footwork since you got here to Jacksonville after being drafted. Do you feel like you're progressing in that area? And how much is working on that affecting the other stuff you're doing throwing the ball?
It's a work in progress. I've definitely made, some strides in the right direction, the things that me and Frank talk about and what we want to work on. And, our goal is to own a couple things and then move on and own a couple more things and continue to work on those things. But, it definitely affects, throwing the ball, I think, a little bit, because you're working on things with your lower body. That's what you're focused on. And then it's like, I messed something up top that I usually don't mess up because I'm worried so much about my lower body. So, I mean, that kind of stuff happens. But I think we're taking it one day at a time, one type of fundamental at a time to continue to improve the whole thing.
What's the relationship like with you and Chad Henne? Is it like a daily? Do you compare notes after practice every day? I mean, obviously, you're in the quarterback meetings, but what has it been like?
It's been great. He's been a great mentor. He's been a great friend. Somebody I can ask football questions to. Somebody I can ask, life questions to. Situations. If you were put in the situation, or when you were put in the situation, how'd you handle it? I think being in the same room with him, being able to watch film with him, hearing him talk and make comments, and then being able to ask him questions as well, and how would you read this or how would you react to that? It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. Learning from him and Frank and Ricky as well.
Blake, didn't have the chance to ask you about this a couple weeks ago. The team had a practice where Coach Bradley had to stop everything and talk to you guys in the middle of a Monday practice, and he said that you came up to him later that afternoon into his office and just said that you didn't feel like you had played well enough in that practice. What made you feel like it was your responsibility to go talk to Coach Bradley about what had happened that Monday?
I think, it just kind of the offense goes as the quarterback goes. I mean, that's kind of the leadership that is given to to play in the quarterback position. And it was an off day. You know, I was going to have good days and bad days through OTAs. I knew that, and I think most people know that. But, I mean, it was just something that, you know, I felt that I struggled, and, you know, I just wanted him to know that, and, you know, and I wanted to talk about it with him and have a discussion with him about it. So, you know, it was good. I really enjoyed that, and, you know, tried to eliminate the bad days.
I know Gus preaches, you know, let's get better each day kind of thing. And but do you set out, do you have, like, at the beginning of OTS, you guys sit down, he talks about vision, having a vision. And as he said, this is where we want to see you in a couple weeks. Or is it that specific, or is it more like a day-by-day, take that next step each day?
Yeah, I think it's both. You know, I think you got a vision of, you know, there was a vision of what you wanted to do and accomplish by the end of OTAs, and there was how you're going to get there each individual day. So, I mean, picking out, you know, detailed things of accomplishing that overall goal and stuff like that. So, I mean, being connected with your vision, working on it every day, working on it at practice, working on it after practice, and continuing to trying to get better and raise the bar.
Was it frustrating at all for you or the quarterbacks with what was going on in OTAs, the injuries in the wide receiver core, with Cecil being out and the two rookies being out as well, Mike Brown even? I mean, at one point, the top five or six potentially on this step chart not able to practice. Was that frustrating for you guys?
I know. It was crazy. But, I mean, no, it was fine. There was guys out there. It gave some other guys some opportunities, and I think that was awesome to see. You know, but those guys went out there and worked their tails off and did a great job stepping up and filling in. So it was a great learning opportunity, and, you know, I think those guys did a great job.
Any one of those guys you felt like maybe you had any particular chemistry with, or was there somebody that you said, wow, this guy really was kind of the standout pass catcher here?
Yeah, they all stepped up and did a great job. I think Allen Hurns, you know, had a great camp. You know, he got his opportunity and made the most of it, and it was fun to watch.
You got two trees out there tight end, too. What's it like throwing to a guy like Mercedes Lewis, who's almost 7 feet tall? I mean, you just throw it up and let him go make a play.
Yeah, he's a monster. He's you know, he's a freak of nature, being that big and being able to run and be athletic and move and get in and out of cuts. And, you know, you can throw the ball anywhere around him, and he's got the ability to go get it. So it's definitely fun throwing to him.
Yeah, Marcel Jensen doesn't look like a small guy.
No, not at all.
Yeah, quarterback's best friend, man. Just look for that that big guy. All right, so for you, pretty much everything you expected, more than you expected, or what, did this whole experience up until now?
You know, it was zero expectations coming into it. I had no idea. I had no idea what the offense would be like. I had no idea what the locker room would be like, the coaching staff, you know, on and off the field. You know, you have an idea for meeting them, you know, in meetings and all that stuff, but you don't know how they're going to act, you know, post-draft, you know, when you're just a guy on the team. So, you know, and everything has been unbelievable. I mean, from the environment that Gus and Dave have created here in the locker room to how we practice to the meetings, you know, it's been unbelievable, and I can't imagine, you know, any place better than to be here in Jacksonville, especially as a rookie.
Now, that's what, you know, Jaguar fans obviously hoping for a lot. We understand the timetable they've set for you is one to, you know, be patient when you're ready to go. That's when we'll see you play and, you know, take advantage. Enjoy the next few weeks a little bit, you know, and the rookie symposium, I don't know if you enjoy that or not, but it's one of those things you got to do. Pay attention, take notes, and but enjoy the next few weeks, man, because it is, as much as it's a great profession to be in, it is a job, it can be a grind, we understand that. So we appreciate you taking some time out. You know, come back, tear them up in training camp.
Thank you guys very much for having me.
All right, you got it. Blake Bortles, your quarterback of the future here in Jacksonville, spending a few minutes with us here on Jaguars today. Tony, as you know, we wrap up today, the Tom Bush Family Dealerships asked Jaguar fans today, which rookie do you think makes the most on-field impact in 2014? Clearly, Blake, the plan that they've laid out for him is to be patient. Maybe we won't see him at all in 2014 on the field. That will be determined in part by how he progresses, how Chad Henne plays this year, how the team record goes, and Henne's health and all that stuff. But give us a sampling of some of the responses we got on Twitter today.
Just a few as we're down to the last couple minutes of the show here. Allen Robinson we got. When he gets healthy, I'm expecting at least a Blackman-type year. Dude can catch. Hashtag Jaguars today. And from Irish Jaguar, we got, if Brandon Linder means we stop thinking about the right guard position, that'll be quietly the biggest impact. The right guard position has been a mess for the longest time. Hashtag Jaguars today. And you're not wrong, Stevie.
Who do you think makes the biggest impact, Tony? rookie?
I think because I'm not sure how much Blake is even going to get the opportunity to play. Obviously, he's the quarterback, so he's potentially the biggest impact. But I think it's going to be a guy like Telvin Smith with what he gives them as far as that athleticism at the linebacker position that they haven't had. I mean, if they get a guy in here that can actually cover a tight end, that completely changes things for this defense, especially with what I think will be a pretty good front four with what they've done in free agency. So I'll go with Telvin.
I'm going to go with Brandon Linder just because I expect him to start from day one, be on the field practically for every offensive snap if he's healthy this year, and really shore up what we saw as a weak spot for the Jags, certainly going into the offseason, throughout free agency and the draft, and they hope they've answered it with him. Got a lot of responses on Facebook as well. A lot of Allen Robinson. This one from Allen Lynn. He said, Allen Robinson gives us something we haven't had at receiver in years. Hashtag Jaguars today. Got several of those kind of votes here. Actually, a few votes for Marcel Jensen. Christopher Capello said, Marcel Jensen, I think Jed Fish will use him as a mismatch with his size and possible speed as well. And then Ben Hensley said, I think Marquise Lee will not only make a huge impact for the Jaguars, but will challenge for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Hashtag Jaguars today. From your lips to whoever votes for Offensive Rookie of the Year's ears, I suppose. Good stuff today, man.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Always got to appreciate the boys with the Jaguar PR department, Tad Dickman, Ryan Robinson, for helping us set up our guests today, which included Blake Bortles, your quarterback of the future with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was live just a few seconds ago. Cecil Shorts from yesterday's conversation with the Drill. We got a chance earlier today to talk with Telvin Smith as well. You'll hear that interview coming up later on this week, so be listening for that. The Tom Bush Family of Dealerships brings you the Fan Feedback Spotlight every day, asking Jag fans what drives you, and the Family of Dealerships includes Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, and Tom Bush Mini. Visit TomBush.com for more information the next time you're in the market for a new or a pre-owned vehicle, and follow them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors as well. All right, that'll wrap it up for us today. Getting ready to hand you off to the boys of XL Primetime. So for Joe Fortunato, for Lauren Brooks, for Fat Vandy over there, and for myself, Mike Dempsey, that does it for Jaguars today. Thanks again to Blake Bortles, Cecil Shorts, Telvin Smith coming up later in the week, and another cast of co-host characters as well. XL Primetime on the other side right here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.